This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. The DNC's decision to come to Milwaukee earlier this year set off a lot of stories that beg the question, who are Milwaukeeans? While there are many view-from-the-middle narratives by national media outlets, the voices from actual Milwaukeeans have been frequently compressed to soundbites.
In some ways, the Milwaukee Anthology is a response to these outside voices asking who we are. The book features stories and poems from a wide array of local writers, and each piece paints a different part of the overall picture of Milwaukee, a place that is home, whatever that may mean.
Justin Kern is the editor of the new collection by Belt Publishing, which focuses on work from and for areas in the Rust Belt. Kern spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers and started by explaining the impetus for the anthology.
Belt, they're out of Cleveland, great indie publisher. They had started this kind of series of real earnest looks and kind of challenging, artistic, heartbreaking, awesome looks at cities in the Great Lakes Rust Belt area. And I think it ramped up in particular around and after the 2016 election. You know, there's always the kind of proclivity, I think, every presidential election cycle for either coast to try to summarize who a voter is from outside of Cincinnati or outside of Racine, or, you know, there's like this ideal that it feels like they try to mold, which is completely outrageously wrong. So anyway, even it's not completely tied to that, but they had some great traction, I think, just because those stories were – people were hungry for those stories. People wanted to hear what life actually was like in Flint, what life was like in Buffalo, in Pittsburgh, in Cleveland. And I had submitted a piece for the Buffalo anthology a couple of years ago, which they gratefully they ran. And working with them on that and another piece in a different anthology, I had a couple weeks off in between jobs about 15 months ago and said, hey, what about a Milwaukee one? And they said, yeah, how about someone, do you know anyone that would do it? You know, I've written, I never edited or arranged a book before, but they were extremely patient and gave great like guidance and kind of guidelines to how to pull it all together. And, you know, being in Milwaukee since 2005, I had a pretty good idea of the stories that we had heard enough of. You know, I think we know that we have fried cheese curds and we have motorcycles here. You know, those things are cool. They have a place. But there are a lot of other amazing, diverse, interesting stories going on in the city, especially right now.
You know, you mentioned you're originally from around the Buffalo area,
yes.
Western New York.
Yep.
And as we talked about a bit before the conversation, Milwaukee, like, really makes you prove that you're a Milwaukeean. There aren't a lot of people who aren't born and bred here who are quick to say, oh, yes, I'm a Milwaukeean. What do you feel like? I mean, you have been here for more than a decade. What do you feel like made you specifically qualified to edit this kind of anthology?
I think, you know, since I've been here since 05, I'm a homeowner now. You know, I feel like I've maybe put in my time with work and paying taxes and going to awesome corner bars. So, you know, I feel like I've put in a little bit of the time there. And I have a pedigree as a writer. I've been a writer and editor for all my working life. But you're right in that way where there is something where, you know, from there's maybe an hour and a half radius around Milwaukee where that's where most of the people from Milwaukee are from. It might be somewhat of an overgeneralization, but, you know, I think Mayville is like, that's where
Outer Banks.
The feeder. Yeah. Whereas like a lot, you know, essentially all of the Midwest is a feeder to Chicago. You know, Milwaukee gets like Monroe, gets Mayville, gets Racine. So there is a quality to Milwaukee where an outsider both gets to maybe see the city in a way that everyone that has spent all of their life in the 414 might not see some things. But also, I had to go out and learn more about the city. I had to go learn about neighborhoods on my own, maybe in a way where I didn't have the rites of passage of, you know, I don't know, you know, having a car ride when you're 16 all the way up North Avenue from downtown all the way out to the suburbs, you know, that kind of thing. So there is some quality of having had to learn. And I think people here are extremely social and like want you to be here. But there is kind of like a sideways glance when you say you're from like any farther than that hour and a half radius, you know. And it goes both ways, I think, too. Michael Perry has a great piece in the book that kind of breaks down some of the walls on this idea that Milwaukee and Wisconsin are these like two different planets when we're really the same planet, maybe orbiting within ourselves or something. But I don't think that we're all that different in the state, but there is that kind of, at least the initial, you know, with a lot of people, you know, it's like, oh, you're from Milwaukee. Or like you were saying earlier, oh, you're from Lake Geneva. Like there's, you know, there is a thing where people, there's a second of consideration. And then usually you're, you know, hopefully welcomed in.
When I first told people, oh, I'm from Lake Geneva, a lot of people would say, oh, well, that's basically Illinois, right?
Right.
Kind of, but not really. I would also argue that, like, that part of Illinois is a little bit like Wisconsin, northern Illinois.
It's really blurry, that state line area, for sure.
Yeah.
Especially when there's, like, a big lottery ticket sale or something.
then it becomes very blurred. Everyone's a Wisconsinite or an Illinoisan.
Yeah, when it comes to the Powerball.
So, you know, you talked about learning about Milwaukee as an adult as opposed to kind of learning it just by being here.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, I was reading one of the pieces that talks about a series of bus tours that Adam Carr has been doing.
Yes.
That teach people about the city they think they know but don't really. You know, when you were digging into these stories, what did you learn?
Yeah, Lauren's piece on the kind of redlining bus tour is really remarkable. And that's been continually an eye-opening thing to me, is how the city, the structures, the powers that be, you know, in just aspects of history, have made it so that people are just almost sequestered to their neighborhoods or feel that way. And there's, you know, two aspects to that, obviously. But in particular, to kind of Lauren's story, that certainly touches on a thing where I feel like this city makes it far too easy for people to just be in their neighborhood, for people to just, you know, or makes it too hard to get out of your neighborhood. And, you know, those things aren't complete mistakes, you know, that sometimes that's through history, through the powers that be, whatever the situations are. Certainly segregation plays a huge factor in that, and that's mentioned throughout the book. But that, to me, was the learning experience of, like, getting out and experiencing those neighborhoods for yourself, being proximate to all the challenges and interesting, cool things going on everywhere in the city, to have it be a point of civic pride that, I can't sit back and let it be okay that a certain neighborhood is just the bad neighborhood, or like a certain you just aren't supposed to go to a certain neighborhood, or a certain neighborhood is just like for certain people. Like that's unacceptable. And I think as far as like in terms of civic pride, I think we, you know, as Milwaukeeans, we need to see it more holistically. But that's certainly like exploring those neighborhoods is something that, like, not that there are big themes in the book along the lines of kind of that exploration, but I do think a number of the authors touch on it, including Lauren's piece, including James Causey's piece. And I think it opens up an opportunity for us as Milwaukeeans to have a conversation about where we go, where we spend our time, where we spend our money, and who we consider our neighbors, because we're all in the same city together.
It is hard to have really any conversation about Milwaukee without including segregation. It's certainly something that I think all of us producers on Lake Effect, we have struggled with at points. Like, when do we keep bringing it up? When do we need to, you know, pull that back and talk about other things? Because it is so integral to the city. In that same kind of light, you know, this book doesn't really silo things. It doesn't go, you know, this neighborhood, this neighborhood, this neighborhood. It is a more holistic look. What were the kinds of stories that you really wanted to tell through this book? And maybe some of the stories that were really important to not overlook, I guess.
I didn't want it to be full of the tropes of what Milwaukee is, or the stories that are out there abundantly. You know, we didn't need another book on that kind of thing. We didn't need another book to explain Summerfest. You know, if you dig Summerfest, you know, that's great. There's plenty of ways to figure out and explore and experience Summerfest. But I think one of the things I certainly sought out in the call for submissions and in the people that I reached out to myself was to make sure that Milwaukee, the actual range of diversity, was on display. And I think the book does a pretty good job with that. Of course, we could do better. I wish there was more space for more stories in there, but we were limited by it being a physical thing, which is a weird concept in its own right nowadays. But it was important, certainly in pulling the book together, to make sure that there were the voices of Mariela Munoz-Godinez, who kind of talks about being from El Salvador, but growing up in Milwaukee, but, you know, still making pupusas, and her husband's Bolivian, and kind of that experience in Milwaukee. I think that's an experience we don't hear enough of. The experience of Fifi Jaber, a Reagan High School student who kind of talks about these speech competitions, but also weaves in what it's like to grow up Palestinian in the south side of Milwaukee. So, you know, just two examples, I think, of the kind of idea that Milwaukee, we are a super diverse city, and there are challenges of segregation that, you know, I don't want to like hand wave at, but we have incredible opportunities because we are a big city. We're not just we're like the big town or small city or whatever they want to say, but this is a diverse place with a lot of opportunities to get to know a lot of different type of people.
When you think of the typical reader of this anthology, I imagine it will be a lot of Milwaukeeans. It may also be people who are coming here for a variety of reasons, for the DNC, for example, trying to see, instead of the kind of view from the middle that we get from the East Coast, the actual view from people who are in the middle.
On the ground, yeah.
On the ground. Who do you view as your audience, and what do you hope they get from these stories and these poems?
Yeah, I appreciate that question. It is twofold. You know, I learned a lot in the submissions, in the wave of submissions that came in, and working with the respective authors in the book. I learned a ton, you know, so I hope it's a chance for people to see and consider their city in a different light, and maybe even be inspired to learn more, to go out and find the range of information sources that are out there that are about our city, that are about our state. So there's that opportunity, of course. But we are in a spot where, like, you know, there's like two, maybe three championship sports teams, so all these like national TV cameras are going to be here, and, you know, hopefully more than just the kind of passing shot of, you know, someone making a cream puff at state fair during a, you know, baseball game, that there'll be people coming to experience Milwaukee, and there'll be kind of a national lens. The DNC is going to be here, of course, and that'll be, I don't even know if the city's really prepared for the kind of mania and just wild wave of people that are going to come here for that, because, again, Milwaukee's not the place that, you know, is set up typically as a destination. But that doesn't mean it shouldn't be, and we can't be super cool and show off all the amazing things we have going on, including motorcycles, including cheese curds, but, you know, including inviting people to go to Washington Park, go to Havenwoods for the kind of like the jazz and blues thing they have over the summer. I mean, there's so many opportunities across the entire city that's my hope, is that, you know, for those outsiders, that it's one of many voices that they take advantage of hearing, of reading, of learning about. And one small, like, conscientious thing that decision I made in pulling the book together too, was that I didn't want it to be a thing where it was like the Milwaukee literati. Like, I didn't want it to be like all of the same writers. There are some completely baller, great writers in here, that names that people will know, like Matt Cook, Dasha Kelly. But there are a lot of voices in here that, they're central and integral to the book because they offer a different perspective, more than that they're a professional writer or something like that. They have a distinct story and viewpoint that has great value.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and speaking with me today.
Thanks for the conversation. It was great.
Justin Kern is the editor of a new collection of stories and poems called The Milwaukee Anthology. There'll be an event with some of the authors on the 24th. There's more information at WUWM.com. Kern spoke with Joy Powers.